Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Dr. Drew, board certified physician and an addiction medicine specialist.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd been swallowing that part. I decided to work on my addiction.
Huh?
Ironically, I turned the word work into worse.
And addiction into diction.
Into diction. Did I do it that time?
Yeah. No, you were very clear.
Thank you. Thank you, mahalo. Tonight, we were supposed to have What's-Her-Nose from What's
Hanoi,
That Show?
Yeah. Point Pleasant.
She got
which is Lauren's favorite show, too.
Oh, it is?
It's my wife's favorite show. It's Lauren's favorite show.
Something happened. Rained. Something.
It rained in San Diego, so they couldn't film yesterday. They had to film today. She got stuck down there.
All right.
Rescheduling.
Wants to reschedule. Yeah. Wanted to come in on Wednesday, but yeah. That's hot heat night.
That's right.
And then
she goes back.
Then she goes back. So, I don't know. We'll dig her out. Hopefully, the show won't get so hot. She won't get so big that we get her on the show real soon. And look at me, Drew. I dressed up.
You did.
I knew an attractive woman was coming in.
You look at you.
I put on a sweatshirt
a
with crank no gravy
anchor,
on it.
A crank anchor sweatshirt.
My beloved crank anchor shirt. I got my...
you have a nice clean gray t-shirt underneath.
Moccasins. Yeah.
Moccasins. What are those pants? Oh, yeah. It's the Puma pants you've been wearing for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I gave myself a nice shot with a moist towelette before I came in.
After the skip roping? Jumping rope?
Didn't skip the rope tonight.
Oh, okay.
Just didn't have it in me.
Well, the towelette cleaned you down nicely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. Speaking of skipping rope, I got a ball that's hurting a little bit.
A nut?
A little bit. A little nut problem. A little bit. A little bit. Just one. But the thing about when the nut hurts, it just sort of, the nuts must have a root system that extend up to your brain.
Yes, yes.
And down your toes.
Oh,
because
yes.
Because a nut gets pinched a little and you can feel the roots just going on. I mean, you feel it going up the abdomen.
Yeah,
it
goes
side.
Right into your abdomen, yes. It's connected to your, it's the only thing that's outside your abdomen that's connected to the abdomen.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, that's why.
Now, nothing happened, no trauma or anything, just the other day, just a little...
There could be a twist, a torsion. A
little torsion.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, no.
With your hernia, I wonder if it has something to do with that.
Feels okay now.
Good. You'll be fine.
And I was cursing you, by the way, the other day.
I know.
There's a multitude of topics to curse you on, but this was your big buildup with the hernia.
Oh, mine was awful.
I was yelling at my wife that... you know, I got my hernia surgery that Drew warned me. Well, quite frankly, I may never be right again. May not be able to do radio. I'm going to be crippled so badly. I reminded my wife that I had the hernia surgery at 5 in the afternoon and woke up mysteriously about 7 a.m. the following day.
And hung curtain rods.
Not curtain rods. Hung a heavy mirrored closet doors.
Wow.
Swung them. Like kind of two-man jobby kind of thing.
Whoa.
Got up at 7 and swung them. No problem.
Oh, my God.
Bleeding profusely from the sack.
I could not walk
right.
for 2 days.
Well, here's the thing. We ain't cut out of the same cloth,
no,
Princess.
No, clearly.
You're cut out of taffeta.
Taffeta, that's
you
not
are
a good
cut
day.
Out of a flirty handful
chiffon.
Of chiffon.
Chiffon is a little closer, yes.
Whereas I'm a sweat-stained burlap.
Yeah, or that stiff taffeta. It's burlap,
I'm a mule skinner. And you're like a dab at a ball.
Yeah, it's bad times.
All right, buddy.
But I was interestingly revisiting that operation as I was ungloving a man's penis on Saturday and thinking to myself, after we slide this ravioli in and pull his skin back over his penis to make it bigger,
mm-hmm.
this guy's going to have some pain.
Ungloving to most of the people listening to the show means you're pulling the condom off your boyfriend. So
no,
you
no.
better explain that.
This means pulling the skin off. Of the penis as though it were a glove.
I always thought that was degloving.
Degloving, yeah, degloving. You're right.
All right, so you pulling, when you deglove something, you could deglove your face, you could deglove your glove.
Usually it means an extremity that goes to a peripheral.
Zero.
Yeah, to zero, yeah.
Okay, so pulling the
skin off the penis.
Skin off the penis. This is to assist the doctor who enlarged a penis.
Yeah, so it's good times.
What is what's the recovery rate? I mean, what do you need? A few weeks or something?
Six weeks before they can have sex again.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I could have done that standing on my head in high school.
6 weeks?
I would have laughed.
6 weeks?
Yeah.
Before you started masturbating.
Well.
Mean no masturbating. Adam, come on.
Forget it. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
No.
The doctor, like if I was in high school and I got the procedure and the doctor said, remember, no sex for 6 weeks. I would have
yeah, that's
right. Make it 6 years. I'm cool. And then I would have started to walk. I would have walked would have been heading toward the front door, sort of chuckling and shake my head. And then he would have stopped me and said, and of course, you know, it means no masturbation, too. And I grab him by the collar and throw him up against the wall. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And that's when I go nuts.
Yes.
I do that thing where I, you know, knock over the medicine cabinet and start a fire.
Yes.
Running out in the street, my shirt torn. Bunch of Vicodin stuffed in my pocket. Like the Hulk.
Yeah.
All right. All right, you ready to go?
One last thing. For everyone that gets on the air tonight that's over 18, again, we're giving out the Saw DVDs, which came out this week. Those of you that get the DVD qualify for a trip to Derbyshire, England, to see the heavy metal concert Bloodstock.
Yeah, and what else, Drew?
DVDs on sale today for Saw, and every puzzle has its pieces.
It does.
Good times.
I'll tell you what. Stacy?
Yes, sir.
22?
Yep.
What's up?
It's kind of embarrassing, I guess, because when I'm having sex, right when I'm getting ready to climax, I feel very gassy, and I don't
do you,
know.
Do you actually produce?
Yeah,
just
I mean,
feel gassy?
I do, and I'm almost afraid that sometimes it might be a little more than that.
More than just gas.
Ooh, yeah,
mudslide.
Wow.
Yeah, so
swirl.
I know.
Times. Yeah. Although he can do that, I bang the S out of her.
You know,
thing.
Knowing men, a guy at first would be sort of privileged to produce this. You know, they'd feel like,
yeah,
yeah, and then it'd be bad times.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you're good for about one round with that, and then better deal with that.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Yes.
All right. Mm.
Have you ever? What's the worst thing that's happened so far?
Well, I've passed gas, and then just a little, fluid type stuff has come out. But I mean,
is he okay with it?
Not really. I mean, I stopped myself from having a complete kick-ass orgasm before anything can happen because I'm too scared something might happen.
You gotta hold it in.
Can you give yourself an enema beforehand to sort of keep it all?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure that's what people... No, but I mean, I'm sure people do that kind of thing if they're going to have anal sex and stuff. And just clean it out. And
What do they do at the hospital when you're having a baby? Do they give you an enema?
Mm-hmm, sometimes.
They do?
Uh-huh.
I'd request that.
Or they just let the soft swirl go.
Does it go quite often?
Yeah, and the baby's crapping everywhere, too.
And really?
It's called meconium, then.
It's called
meconium.
Meconium?
Is baby poo in the birth canal.
Oh, really? Wow.
And that's bad times because they can breathe it in.
Radio and crapping in the poop canal. Quite versatile.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. The baby craps in the birth canal?
That was Marconi, not Meconi.
I don't know. I think it's the same dude. The same guy. This guy's got range. That's all I'm saying. Listen, Drew, coming out of the birth canal squeezes the child.
Yeah, and squeezes
so the
ass out of him.
Like toothpaste,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
How often, and Drew, be realistic here, and if you don't know, tell me, but how often does that happen?
I believe that meconium is not uncommon at all. The problem is that they get involved in meconium and aspirate it and stuff. That's when there's a problem.
Yeah, I know, but this happens.
The meconium aspirations are pretty uncommon.
Yeah, but this happens through 50% of the births, 20% of the births.
I can't give you that number.
You never really see it in the movies.
I'll guess.
It's never covered with crap when they hold it up.
Well, all that stuff that's in there. It's in there.
Mm. One more reason not to film.
I'll guess at least 50%. I'm going to guess.
Wow. And how often do the ladies
soft swirl?
Yeah.
That's the number I ain't got. But Stacy. Yeah.
Stacy's
going to
have. Well, Stacy seems like a candidate for that because if she can't handle a penis. Without a little something coming out.
Uh-huh.
Imagine a kid's head. Stacy.
Yes.
Got that to look forward to.
But what about an enema or something? Just preparing yourself so you don't have to worry about this.
Well, I've never had one before. I mean...
Just get yourself a Fleet's enema. They're called Fleet's. It's just a plain old little bottle you squirt, and it's a Fleet's enema.
You don't have to hang it on the door.
No, you don't need that kind of amateur. Just a fleets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. Try that. And then what about it, Drew? I mean, what if you just try to go, but nothing comes out?
Beforehand?
Well, it's not like urinating, is it?
No, it's a little less of an exact science.
I mean, urination is like, okay, I got to go on a long car trip. I'm going to go see a play or something. I'm gonna drain my fluid, and then I'll sit down and be uninterrupted.
Right. There's something called a mass movement that takes it and pushes it into the anal ampulla.
Right. So you may not have anything on
ready
deck.
Ready to go.
Nothing's ready to go.
It's in the hole, as it were,
but not quite on deck yet.
Deck. Yes.
Right. So you could then go on your long car ride, and it could slide on
all
deck.
All of a sudden, it's on deck.
Right, and there's no movement. Way you can push it from
skeletal muscle.
Or in the hold on deck.
It's sort of smooth muscle, autonomic stuff that does
what
that.
What if you punch yourself in the stomach and you go, come on! You
could try that. It might do a little something. Do a little jump roping, skip roping.
A little up and down. Yeah. I want to talk to this guy. Jason?
Yes. Hello?
You're 20, you're 300 pounds.
Yes, well, close to it.
All right.
I had a question for Dr. Drew. What's the most weight you should be to get the gastric bypass?
100 pounds over your ideal body weight. You're in there. You're in. Plus, I can hear in your voice, you must have other complications, too. I mean, his voice quality, listen.
Whoa.
I mean, it's...
All I hear is virgin coming through.
Well, no, I hear estrogen coming through, which means all the adipose tissues.
Chicks. Yeah.
Well, adipose tissues.
Lactating.
Just, you know, gynecomastia, small testes, all that stuff.
Yeah, because you get fat, you get circulating
adipose tissue, which is what your fat is, converts testosterone to estrogen.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Jason?
Yes.
You do got a little cheeky. Do you have hair on you?
Yeah, I do.
You do? All right.
Well, I think if you've tried, I mean, obviously we recommend first trying a dietitian and exercise program and really, you know, you saw The Biggest Loser. People lost an amazing amount of weight on that show when they really did the work.
How tall are you?
About 5'3", 5'4".
Oof.
That's more than 100 pounds over your ideal body weight.
Oh, yeah, I know.
That's like 150 pounds over.
Hold on. Let me talk to Engineer Chris. Chris, look up the body mass index.
Body mass index. Okay.
Mm, body mass index.
BMI.
Sometimes there's some confusion, so I'm going to put a fine point on it.
Mm-hmm.
For tonight's show. All right?
Not tomorrow? Okay.
Tonight's show.
Yeah.
All right. Because sometimes, usually, here's how it works. 20 minutes later, we turn to Chris and go, what's going on with that BMI? And he goes, huh? And we go, the body mass index. And he goes, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it already?
No, I mean.
He's got the message. Because the thing is that, you know, 5'3", that, by the way, that body mass index needs to be recalibrated. Mm. It just does. People are bigger. And I don't mean fatter. I just think they're bigger. Guys are bigger. People are sort of stronger and thicker, and they weigh more. That thing was done in 1941 or something. I mean, you know, they used Frank Sinatra was, you know, at 19 was the ideal size for a guy who was 5'11". Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I swear to God, I've seen those shows and the chicks like sitting there. She's going, how old are you, sir? And how tall are you? I'm 5'9 and a half. All right.
Yeah, 160 pounds.
You should be between 153 and 159. It's every guy I know is 5'10", is 190,
yes.
185, and the thin guys are 180 at 5'9".
Yes.
And you
superimpose the guys that are even at the outskirts of that normative scatter who are like 240 with no fat on them and 5'10".
The brothers. I know. Jerome Bettis, 265, it's like 5'10". They got to get one going for Samoans and black guys and stuff. Those poor guys can't be stuffed in the white guy one.
Yeah.
You show me a Samoan guy's, you know, 5'10 and 130, I'll show you guys dying of AIDS.
Yes, yes.
Those guys.
Even the Hawaiian guys, mostly Tupu and those guys.
Those guys got 50 pounds worth of calf on them.
Absolutely.
Forget about it.
Achilles wears 12 pounds.
Yeah, at least. Jason? All right.
So gastric bypass is a good idea, but first, it's always important to have tried everything else.
Are you virgin?
Yeah.
You are?
Yes.
Can you speak up a little bit, please?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Now, are you into anything goofy, like Lord of the Rings or Star Trek or something like that?
No. I mean, I'm a big movie guy, but...
Yeah.
Have you had an endocrinologic evaluation? I mean, sort of short body stature? Are there other things that could be going on here?
Well, no. I mean, I don't have any insurance to go to the doctor.
Oh, boy. Do you have high blood pressure?
No.
Do you have diabetes? How do you know you don't have high blood pressure?
Well, I just gave blood a couple weeks ago. They said I didn't have any normal, any higher than any normal.
Mm-hmm.
Diabetes?
No.
All right.
It's going to happen soon.
Is your family overweight?
My sister is. My mom used to be.
Mm. Yeah.
Did she have a gastric bypass something?
No. She just lost it in her own.
No, good for her.
All right. Now, did you try losing weight?
I've tried off and on and just gave up.
Well, what is your plan or what was your plan?
Well, what do you mean by plan? Like how much weight I wanted to lose? Or?
No, just what was your weight loss plan? I mean, your regimen.
Cut back on eating, more exercise.
All right. All right, here's the thing. I see these, you know, I watch these shows, these 2020 and all these new news magazines every Friday night because I'm determined to sit home and get drunk on Friday nights.
Of course.
Part of, well, you know, the New Year's resume.
You're right. I remember that.
So they do these things every 3 weeks where it's like, we took this one guy, we put him on the Atkins diet, put the other guy on the South Beach diet, put another guy on just, you know, exercise and whatever, put everyone on everything and everyone just... basically, the Atkins works pretty good, but people seem to just put it back on as soon as they get back on the carbs.
Right.
And there's really, it seems sort of, if you're planning on making it to 85, you not eating any carbs for 4 months and losing a bunch of weight and then going back, going off of it and gaining the weight back on just seems inherently flawed.
Right. The idea, low fat, low cal, high fruit and vegetable, simple.
It just keeps getting back to what it is. Eat the stuff that doesn't taste that great. Don't try to cut corners with all the these potato chips have no fat in them. They're made with this chemical.
Right.
That's a sort of chemical substitute part. You know, these cookie nut fudge bars are made with saccharin and low calorie. It's just that.
Yeah.
Just eats. You know what the deal is. And here's the thing, by the way. Not that bad if you do it right.
You start not liking the very, very rich stuff.
Well, if you think about it.
I beg your pardon.
Trying to talk. All right. Here's the thing. You can. That's great producing.
Yes.
She's holding the picture up that says.
Saw. Sell the Saw DVD.
You already did it. Hey, here's the thing. You can have yourself a nice piece of fish and some broccoli or some asparagus or something like that. Put a little butter, a little lemon, a little whatever. Stuff really, I mean, you can sort of have your cake and eat it too, pardon the pun, except if you can't really eat your cake. But go make yourself a nice steak and have some broccoli. It tastes good. It's better than the weird sort of Weight Watchers linguine with clam sauce made with Allegra.
That's right.
You know, or Lestra or whatever the hell that Allegra. Stuff is. That's something else. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Just go get yourself a piece of fish and
some broccoli.
Put a little lemon on it. It's not bad.
That's right.
All right. All right. And then you got to go do some exercise.
Well, that's the key, by the way.
And that's about it.
That's about it.
And look, you know what you have to eat. It's got to, if it tastes a little
crappy,
you got
to watch your portions. You got to be a little bit hungry. And all right, so you can't be stuffing yourself all the time.
All right.
Let's go to the candy machine.
All right. Chris, what do you got on the body mass index?
I have it right here.
You do?
Yes.
All right, male.
Well, no, it's just height in inches and stuff.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. They have males, though, right?
I think you're looking for ideal body weight. Which is different than body mass index.
Determining your body mass index.
It's a little different. That's a calculation.
Well, what do you have? All right, so what do you got?
What's the height in inches?
All right, let's go.
5'10" we've been using.
All right, so that's 70 inches.
70 inches, okay.
Yeah, 72 is 6 foot. Yeah. That's 70 inches. Does it give you a weight for 70 inches?
Yeah, for what age?
Let's say 25. Or between 25 and 30 or something like that. But there's no male-female distinction.
That's good.
There's no male-female distinction? Same
be way. Like 174.
For a male.
It doesn't determine male or
Let
female.
Let me go over there a little bit.
Right. True. Hop on over to the computer, would you, buddy? Yeah. And punch Chris, if you would. All right, I'm going to get back to the phones over here. Let's see. Inverted uterus. I don't want to talk to her. 300 pounds. Ah. Wants to have sex, friend. Ah, Germany or Florida. Drew, you can play that from over there. Lauren?
Yes.
You're 29?
Yes.
What's up?
I've got a piece here. It's entitled, Honey, Remember to Turn on the Rooster Booster.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is that a Germany or Florida?
Yes, it is.
All right. Go ahead and give us our Germany or Florida.
Before leaving on vacation, a couple set up a loudspeaker and timer with the sound of a crowing rooster to blast their neighbors every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. After complaints, police obtained a warrant to enter the house and discovered the gear with the speakers aimed at the neighbors and rigged to a timer.
Mm-hmm.
The apparatus switched on between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning and produced a rooster crowing at an enormous volume.
Mm-hmm.
This would last for 20 minutes with breaks in between, police said.
Mm-hmm.
Police confiscated the gear and charged the vacationers who are still away with bodily harm and disturbing the peace.
Mm-hmm.
The neighbors had no history of antagonism.
So wow.
Germany or Florida?
Florida.
No history of antagonism. I mean, it seems like you'd have to have some bad blood. You'd have to be like Hatfield and McCoy type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a scary thought. Chris, you know the Hatfields and the McCoys are?
No.
No, okay.
Oh,
scary thought would have been if you actually knew what you were talking about.
We're officially old. Here's the thing. Feels Floridian, although where do Floridians go on vacation? You know what I mean? You're already living in Florida. They went on vacation. Rooster thing. Germans aren't this inconsiderate.
Germans, it wouldn't be something so redneckish.
Yeah, it's redneckish, but it's also sort of high tech. There's timers and speakers involved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It feels Florida to me. It feels Florida to you?
Yeah.
All right, we're going Florida.
It's actually Berlin, Germany.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Uncomfortable. We're going to have to edit that out of the show. Thanks, Lauren. Sorry, you won't be able to hear yourself.
And hi from the Razor.
What's that?
And hello from the Razor.
Oh, okay.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. True, okay. Why sink ourselves deeper? What do you got over there?
I'm computing the BMI. We're going to go with somebody 5'10". How much you want them to weigh? Let's say 195, just for the sake of what everyone weighs.
Okay.
Okay, and we're going to compute it.
All right. But
it's 28. And then 28, if somebody is 70 inches.
It's 5'10".
Yeah. This is, you're right. This is, we need a separate thing for people that aren't white. This doesn't work.
Yeah, well, why? What's 28?
Well, I'm just looking at, they're saying 70 inches in 28, you should be weighing 195 pounds, is what I put in the computer.
Right.
And if you were 70 inches and 210 pounds, let's say, your BMI would be 30.
Right.
And you would be obese.
You would be obese.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if your waist was over 40 inches, or even less than 40 inches, you'd be at high risk for various kinds of medical diseases like hypertension and diabetes.
But can't you find a breakdown chart that just says the guys and the girls and what your height is and what your weight should be? Is there one of those things where you just slide down
that's
to
ideal
your height
body
and slide
weight.
To the right?
That's ideal body weight. Let me get that.
Right, go find that. Go find that. All right. We got to take ourselves a break. Drew's got a little homework. I got a little plug for myself, by the way.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm doing it. It's funny you say, hey, Adam.
Yeah.
I'm doing a TV show this Friday, doing a little pilot for Comedy Central, and we need your questions. So if you want to get involved with it, you want to get some of your questions on the air, you just call 1-866-HEY-ADAM. Hey, that's a name.
Hey, Adam.
866-HEY-ADAM. 866-HEY-ADAM. And you get on a little TV show we're doing Friday. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll talk to Veronica with the inverted uterus after this. Hey, buddy, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Hot heat in here tomorrow night. We, Anderson digs hot heat.
Oh, does he?
I think I like hot heat, too. Where the hell did I see those guys? On Kimmel? Have they been in here before?
I think so.
Let's pretend like they have. No.
Yeah,
right?
When they come in, yes, of course.
No.
Hey, buddy.
They have never been on.
Anderson says no.
Really?
Hmm.
If you say so.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk to Veronica with the inverted uterus. Veronica?
Yes, how are you?
Good.
Okay,
maybe you're maybe it's just your body that's upside down. You think about that? Why blame the uterus? Maybe it's facing
maybe
the right
it's
way.
It's everything else. You're
yeah.
right.
You don't know.
What's the question?
Okay, I'm married, and I feel that for the most part I have a normal sex life, except that I obviously I can't climax during through regular intercourse. Oral sex is no problem, and
that would make you a normal female.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Most women, yeah. that is the way it is for most women.
Okay, because I was told by my doctor after, you know, being going through them, you know, when I was pregnant that my uterus was tipped, and I
which
didn't
is
know
also,
anything. I'm
tipped
sorry?
Is also common. Most women never have an orgasm with intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
And inverted or these flipped inverted uteruses are very common. It's not it has nothing to do with your orgasmic function at all, unless you have pain with intercourse, and that usually is with deeper penetration when you kind of feel the uterus flop back.
And I will tip a uterus, true, if I can get the deep penetration.
You'll tip it, yeah.
At 20% usually.
20% tip. That's nice.
If it was good sex, 20-25%
okay.
Depending
of 20%
on
of.
Depending on what how the service was.
Oh, I see.
How the service was.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that they need to tip out the cervix
yeah.
and the fallopian tubes.
Well, of
so
course.
It's not all.
Yes, yes.
They don't pocket the whole thing.
Right, of course.
Yeah. Bus boys. Okay. All right, go ahead, Veronica.
You're saying it's normal, but for me, it's just, you know, I think it's starting to kind of get to my husband, the fact that, you know, that's all he can do for me. It's, you know, I don't know if it's...
Oral?
Veronica, yeah, I mean, I think he enjoys it. He doesn't have a problem doing it, but it's, I feel that he's starting to, it's, you know, like, well, he can't, you know, please me any other way. You know
well,
what
that,
I mean?
That, but the, if he expects something different, he has to look for something other than a human female,
yeah.
because that's okay. true of most women. And that if he has a problem with that, that's his problem.
Okay.
All right, but you enjoy sex with him, right?
Oh, absolutely. I love him,
right.
you know, and I know
right.
he loves me.
All right, just tell him to relax with that then.
Yeah.
He's getting frustrated. I don't trust these guys where the woman's orgasm sort of becomes their orgasm.
Right,
it's like
right.
their quest.
Right.
It's their holy grail. They feel betrayed if the woman
right.
disappointed, a little angry
think,
and resentful.
You know what I think it is? I think the guys feel that, well, somebody's done that to her or somebody should be able to do that to her. Therefore, I got to be the one before somebody else gets there.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of think it's sort of a territoriality impulse, which is, I got to be the one to give her this.
For me, it's like decorating a condemned building. Like, yeah, I don't have to try anymore. It's good. This thing's coming down.
It's over.
It's right. over.
There you go.
It's done.
Now let's get on with it.
None of them are coming back. That's it. They're all gone.
It's a good time.
That's for me. It's like, hey, pressure's off. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of high school. Where are you going? Yeah,
and,
why,
and some
why
women
take that
and most women really like oral sex. I mean, something
yeah.
they genuinely enjoy.
Give them a nice, yeah. That's right.
It's funny. I was talking to a woman at Discovery Health Channel. I was describing this sort of orgasmic thing, and I was saying, you know, these women that have multiple orgasms or just repeated one after the other don't like oral sex, which is true. They just don't. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
really do much for them.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, what?
Oh,
so,
right.
Like,
she didn't understand
like,
it.
I can't. Huh? And I was like, yeah, no. She goes, and I was like, say no more.
Yeah. Yeah. She wasn't one of them.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Listen, Frigidaire. How about give me some crushed ice from your coos, Frigidaire? Ain't nothing coming out of you. Yeah.
1-866 Hey, Adam. There you
That's
go.
Right.
That's right.
That's where you get on the show. Hey,
did you
also,
give the website too? AdamCarolla@yahoo.com?
No, I didn't do that. I'm
That's
not
pretty
computer.
Funny.
I'm not a computer guy. Here's the thing, Drew.
What?
Thanks for the plug. Here's the thing. You as a passionate man aren't really into receiving oral.
No.
Because it's like, it's all right, but it's not your destination.
Into it, but not into it.
Not your final destination,
yeah, right,
not where you need
right.
to go.
No,
you're too
no.
passionate.
Yeah, yeah.
And I now realize that the guys who really aren't that into receiving oral are just the opposite of guys who aren't that into ladies or aren't that into sex. They're too much into it.
Mm-hmm.
They are guys that are such, they're like, they're such burger lovers, they throw out the bun.
Right.
It's like,
right.
oh, you don't like burgers? No, I love them that much.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want anything getting in the way.
Right.
Women with the oral is this,
very
they're
similar.
Sort of this way too.
Similar, yeah.
They like, they're so orgasmic that the idea of oral is this sort of, it's so much, so much parsley on the side of the plate. Yeah, let's get to it.
Right.
All right.
But they're even sometimes sort of irritated by it because it does nothing for them, which some guys are that way too.
But imagine the hand dealt to the guy who gets to hook up with this broad, because not only do you have that sort of, you know, the kind of King Kong feeling through the multiple waves of orgasm you induce from this woman, but, and meanwhile, a Tipperillo would have the same effect, but who cares? You're the guy it's attached to.
Right.
But also, it doesn't care for the oral. You know what I'm saying? Wow.
It's good times.
Hmm. Tony?
Yep.
16?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I was wondering, I'm taking Concerta for ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering how pot and shrooms would possibly affect that.
Well, it's complicated, and I'm not sure anyone can answer that for you in a very accurate way, except to say that ADHD is oftentimes a marker for addiction. And if you have a family history of addiction and you're smoking a lot of pot and doing a lot of mushrooms and you have ADHD, this is part of the evolution of addiction here too.
Okay.
Mushrooms are going to destabilize your ADHD and going to cause mood disturbances. Pot probably interfere with the effect of the Concerta, but not in a big way, not a big deal. But you're going to get addicted to the pot and then you're going to have a separate problem.
Okay. Mm.
Mm.
Good times.
Mm. Mm. Aaron?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Aaron.
I talked to you guys about a month and a half ago. I don't know if you remember. I was in the penis soccer ball.
I do, and it's been too long, brother.
Yeah.
I miss
you. I went to the doctor, the urologist, like Drew told me to, and it turned out one of my nuts had died.
Yep, I told you.
And they scheduled me right then and there, and I had it taken out a couple days later.
It had died because you waited too long to get to the hospital to get help?
I assume so.
Yep.
When I talked to you guys, it had happened, I think about 10 days beforehand.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's too long.
And what happens? Blood supply gets cut off or what?
Yeah, it's just crushed.
That's what they told me.
Yeah, blood supply gets cut off.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, Drew, if you could tell me a little bit about prosthetics.
I don't know much about them. I know I've seen people with them. I had a patient that had an acrylic prosthetic once, and I know they have various kinds of latex prosthetics. And usually they put them in, I thought, at the same time as they're getting rid of your testy. They didn't give you kind of option like that?
No, they just wanted to get it out right away.
Yeah, it can be a problem.
Yeah. Well, they probably have to send away to Germany for the nudicle.
Nudicle.
Well, they had those things for dogs.
Yes, you're right.
I imagine it's the same technology.
Yes, makes sense.
Although you definitely want to step up to the St. Bernard.
Of course,
and
of course.
And the Newfoundland types and not the lap dog types.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
As long as you're going, you go big.
Yeah.
Aaron.
Yeah.
Well, that's rough, number one. Number two, so you don't need both your nut balls,
but he wants just for appearance's sake.
I understand, but now the only thing, you know, you have two, you can get along with one, but you can't get along with none. You got to protect the one you got now, right?
Soccer's over.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be playing much soccer now.
No, from now on, it's just freestyle skateboarding where you do a lot of rail work.
Okay.
Yeah, like those guys who go down those staircases on the railing.
Hey guys, I didn't get to tell you last time, but big fans, and I just love your work. Thanks.
All right. Well, thanks, Aaron. Go on the internet. You can find that kind of stuff.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, buddy boy. Yeah. I mean, Drew, when they pull that out, I know they were in a hurry to get the thing out, but shouldn't they?
I would think. I've never done that procedure. I've only done a penis enlargement now.
Yeah.
You would think. But again, then maybe they need some healing or something before they can put it in there. I don't know. That has strangely bogus quality to it, by the way.
A little bit. Yeah. But I don't know. Oh, who cares? Alexandra?
Yeah.
21?
Yep.
What's up, baby? Why are you so angry?
Oh, angry.
No, she's sad.
She's sad?
Sad? No, depressed. Angry's good.
Angry's good?
Okay. Angry's good, yeah. So I got involved with this 46-year-old guy who I met in a psych ward.
You're 21.
Yeah, I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
good
really
times.
Stupid on my part. But so now he's, like, seeing this other woman And she's like exactly like me, but older and a nurse. So, and I want to get into medicine, and I'm bipolar, and she attempted suicide some years back and was in a psych ward, and she's Greek. I'm Greek. Like, he's dating me, but I broke up with him, like, a month ago.
Good.
And then
what's your question?
I kept seeing him and kept sleeping with him, which was really bad.
Yes.
And so now he's, like, wanting his apartment key back, which I never used, and he's...
What?
Yeah, I don't know, whatever. So,
what about his apartment?
He wants to give you his apartment back?
He gave me his apartment key, and he wants it back now. And he chose really poor timing because I took, like, 15 Vicoprofen, which is kind of like Vicodin with ibuprofen in it, instead of Tylenol, and I drank on it. So, yeah, I was pretty sick. So he knows that, and I really cut myself pretty badly over this. Don't ask why. It's stupid. And
well, all right, Alexandra.
Yeah. Ooh.
When was the last time you saw your psychiatrist?
Last week, but I'm not going through a med change.
You sure are, and you're hypomanic right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what are you taking right now?
Geodon, Lamictal, and Visceral for sleep.
And the Lamictal's being adjusted?
No, the Lamictal's fine. It's the Geodon. I switched from Risperdal to Geodon.
Mm. You switched from Risperdal to Geodon, all right.
Risperdal to Geodon, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you need to call your doctor and tell you that you're still having racing thoughts and pressure speech and all that stuff.
What's up?
It's really, really bad. It's really annoying.
Are you taking speed or something?
No.
No, nothing to really destabilize things other than alcohol.
What was the deal with all the pills you took?
Pills?
Yeah.
Well, I have a little problem with pain pills. And I haven't really been able to get off of them. And I have chronic back pain, so they keep prescribing them to me.
Yeah, well, you need a little recovery, Brittany.
By the way, 21-year-old chick with chronic back pain, that's just an addict. What would you do, years of working on the docks?
No skiing accident, but yeah, I'm just an addict, basically.
Right,
yeah,
okay. Let's get some recovery going.
Well, the pain will go away if you take care of your addiction.
Yeah.
And as long as you're using drugs, it's very difficult to control your bipolarity.
Yeah.
So let's get going here. Let's get it going, huh?
Let's go. Come on, Alexandra.
NA program.
You're 21 for the love of Christ.
I'm sure you've been exposed to 12-step at your various hospitalizations. Let's just make some calls, get back to the meetings, detox. Let's go.
Yeah, but listen, you're 21. You made a couple of bad choices. You got strung out. Now you clean yourself up and you go have a good life.
Yeah.
No big deal.
I don't know. I'm still in this little phase of, like, maybe I don't need recovery program, you know? My therapist wants me to go into this recovery program, and I really don't want to go.
Let me tell you for sure.
No. Well,
you need it. There's no doubt about it.
Your argument of I don't want to go is not really a compelling argument in terms of recovery.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Be super clear. None of these psychiatric problems. You're going to become a chronic disabled psychiatric patient if you don't take matters into your own hand.
Don't dance with this guy, by the way, anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was just a bad decision you made.
It's part of your addiction, exactly.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I was on pain pills when I, like, even started seeing him.
That's what we're saying. It's part of your addiction.
Yeah.
You have horrible decision making when you're loaded and when you're in your disease.
Right,
baby. Let's get going. Come on.
You know what you need? You need to listen to classical music.
I do.
Yeah. Mellow you right out.
It doesn't work because I listen to, like, people like who are manic depressive.
Mm-hmm.
So they are kind of rambunctious at times.
Yeah. I was talking about music, but that's all right.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Well, listen to a little classical music and take a walk, would you?
I like walking.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Walk to a 12-step meeting.
Well, actually run. Run to a 12-step meeting.
I like running.
It's kind of, in a way, it's satisfying. On the other hand, it's like sort of like being with a prostitute.
What?
Well, just her sort of agreement.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. The horrible thing about Alexandra is she is treatable. These are treatable conditions. And this is the source of frustration in my professional life, which is all people have to do is follow direction. That's all they have to do is have a tiny shred of willingness and just follow somebody's direction and just do what they need to do to get better, and they will get better.
Yeah.
But no. You can't tell them what to do.
People aren't as interested in change. I was talking to my shrink about this today. Not as interested in change as I'm interested in them changing. I realized. As a matter of fact, they have almost zero interest in change, whereas I have a very vested interest in almost everyone changing. And I realize it's just a horrible, torturous life for me trying to get everyone to do something I want them to do. But as human beings, everybody, that's really one of your greatest assets, if you think about it. Owls don't change too much. Moose don't change too much. You know, the animal kingdom, especially reptiles,
Humans can really change.
Yeah, like gators and snakes.
Yeah,
almost
not,
zero
not,
change.
Not too many options. Hippos? Mm-mm.
Yeah, hippo, you can. There's some that are flexible.
Oh, yeah.
Some.
Yeah, we've seen them all learn ballet.
Right. The point is as a person, you really do what you want. In a fairly short period of time, you get it together. Year goes by, pow, you're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do what most people do: just lock it in, blame everyone, and ride that funicular right into the ground.
Mm.
Ride that right to your grave. Yeah,
that S train.
Yeah. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this. Buddy, love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Hot, hot heat tomorrow night in studio. Anderson, you like hot, hot heat?
Yeah.
Yes, you do. You have a song of theirs anywhere?
No.
Okay.
That's good. Can you tell us one?
They're one of those bands. I liked them like 2 years ago, and they weren't really getting much play, and now they're much bigger than I ever imagined they would be.
Oh. And that ruins it for you, right?
You're bitter now,
yeah,
right?
So now I go back to my old bands.
Yeah.
But no, their album is very good. You will enjoy their music tomorrow night.
All right. All right. Well, we'll look forward to Hot, Hot Heat.
They played a few of the K-Rock events. You've probably seen them before.
That must have been where we caught them.
You'll like them, Adam, because they're not glammy at all. They're real, like, down to earth.
All right. Well, that's what I like.
Bushy hair.
All right.
I got one over here.
Really?
Yeah.
You got a Hot, Hot Heat song?
There it
Chris.
Goes. Wow.
Brought his
A-game. He gave you the finger when the show opened today?
Yeah. Chris.
Uh-oh.
He brought his...
Here it is.
Oh, this,
that's not hot.
All right. Well, remember I said he brought his A game?
This is his A game.
It's down to B minus.
This is his A game.
It is? Okay. This is his A game.
Yeah, yeah.
If it was your C game, you'd kill yourself, right?
This is it right here.
This Hot, Hot Heat?
This is Bandages by Hot, Hot Heat.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, why don't you give a little dedication, you know, send this one out. Like,
this goes out to Anderson from Loveline.
Yeah.
You're dead.
Yeah. Do the whole thing. Yeah, do the whole thing. It started from the beginning, Chris, and go, this one's going out to Anderson. A little something from Hot, Hot Heat called Bandages.
Oh, my God.
And then, you know, and then give the call letters out, too. And then
right.
And then the time. And then the weather. And
it's,
then the traffic.
10-21.
All right. Here, you ready?
All right.
Here we go.
You're listening to 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. And this is Hot, Hot Heat with Bandages for Anderson over there at the Westwood One.
Okay, that's pretty good, but the Anderson dedication seemed like a third move, you know? That got lopped on.
Yeah.
That got tacked on right at the end. That was an afterthought. You know what I mean?
You need to figure out, just imagine him there in that booth by himself.
Yeah, this one's going out to Anderson. And you can even talk to him. Anderson, I know you're out there. I know you're listening. So something from Hot, Hot Heat.
All
enjoy.
Right.
All right, let's try it one more time.
One more time, okay.
I'm all becoming right, aroused. We should probably stop.
Here we go, just
well,
one
that's
more.
What he's imagining, by the way.
And also, be nice to have the music bed playing a little bit underneath you while you're talking, you know, instead of just talking cold. At the
from the beginning,
beginning,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
All those call letters
have
and
to
things.
Look for a bed, yeah.
No,
the Hot, Hot Heat.
Not the bed, the Hot, Hot Heat. All right, you ready? So cue the music up first.
All right, this is 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q, and this goes out to Anderson over there at the Westwood One. This is Hot, Hot Heat with Bandages.
Okay, all right, we could clean that up in editing a little, and I think we could
make
it work.
It's okay.
Yeah, that was solid. Okay, all right, Anderson, wherever you are, buddy, that one's going out to you. A little Hot, Hot Heat.
All right. Let's take a break.
Pot yourself down now. Alexa?
Yes?
You're 18?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
This is like a recent development. When I'm having sex with my boyfriend and, you know, you're clenching your abdominal muscles or your vaginal wall, and I'm about ready to climax, I get like this pain, but it's not really painful. It's just kind of like a lot of pressure, but it's deeper. And then when I do finally have an orgasm, I pour out. It's not like a little leak. It's
wow,
like
good times,
torrential,
nice.
It's like
Hold on a second, Alexa. Hold on. We got to take a break.
Chris has to dedicate a song to you and your vaginal
Alexa
moisture.
Alexa, Mission Viejo. Here you go.
She's Alexa.
Go.
I don't even have it potted.
It's not even ready yet.
Well, where is it? Come on, buddy. Pot it up now.
There you go.
So turn your mic on. It's Alexa from Mission Viejo. She has a wet vagina. Go ahead.
All right, this is Alexa. I mean,
yeah. All right, that's all right. Let's just
try it again. Here we go.
Here we go.
All right, this is Hot Out Heat. Bandages going out to Alexa in Mission Viejo.
With the vagina.
With the vagina.
With the wet vagina.
With the wet vagina on Loveline.
All right, go to break.
All right. All right. And we now can go to break. Later.
You don't have to say that part. Yeah. Yeah, Loveline. That's what I'm talking about. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Okay. Now, when we left off, well, Chris was sending a shout out to Alexa via Hot Hot Heat.
That was well done, well executed.
No, it wasn't.
And before we go on, we have to mention.
Yeah, that's all right. It was good.
That everyone over 18, which Alexa will be amongst those because she is 18, will win a Saw DVD starring Danny Glover and supposedly the creepiest horror flick since Seven. And
you
also qualified to win a trip to Derbyshire, England to see the heavy metal concert Bloodstock.
And I'll tell you what they say about Saw, Drew.
Every puzzle has its pieces.
That's what they say.
That's what they say about Saw.
Alexa?
They also say Seesaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi.
Alexa?
Yes.
All right. So you, when you orgasm, a lot of fluid comes out of you.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in the way you describe that buildup because I'm not sure anyone has truly studied carefully where an ejaculate comes from. There's confusion about whether, with females, whether it's from the Skene's glands or the Bartholin glands or even from the wall of the vagina or maybe somewhere in the uterus, or is all this really just some urine? It's very difficult to say. And in your case, you feel something building up. You can feel the fluid coming in.
Well, that's what I'm wondering is where it all is. I'm thinking, where the heck am I storing all of that?
Well, it's like a male man with the prostate gland and the seminal vesicles. Men produce a lot of fluid, too. And your glands are just, rather than focus, sort of concentrated in one area, sort of spread throughout the vaginal wall and the around the vulva.
How much of you, how much do you figure comes out of you?
Maybe, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7 ounces. I don't, a lot. But then again, I don't really measure it, so I don't know.
6 ounces. Let's think about this. 6 ounces would be...
Hold on a second.
Like enough to fill a bowl.
Yeah, women have... Well, most people exaggerate.
I like the way it's 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 14, 85 ounces.
I know. Eventually, I was going to stop her before she got to a 55-gallon drum. Yeah, several hundred thousand ounces. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, everybody. You take a cup, you fill coffee mug holds about 8 ounces. You fill that coffee mug about you know, a half an inch from the top. That's about 6 ounces. And all I'm saying, and as I demonstrate on Loveline, the TV show once, take that coffee mug and knock it over
Just spill what's on the top.
Just slop a little on the top. Yeah.
It looks like a lot.
It looks like a lot. So it's really more like probably an ounce or so.
Ounces.
But
still a lot.
Still enough to ruin a comforter.
Sure.
Or make it. Well, that's the thing. When I do ejaculate, I can notice a difference when I've had a lot to drink, like a lot of fluids. There's a lot more when I'm hydrated.
It kind of makes sense, right? I mean, that's true of anything.
How about you pack some sawdust in there?
I understand. I thought it was also kind of curious that you had never had this happen before with previous partners?
Well, no. It's the same partner. I've only had one partner, my boyfriend that I'm currently with.
I see. And so this guy does this for you.
Is it, did you ever, give him a dusting during the oral?
A dusting?
Well, dousing.
Oh, and he's giving the oral.
Yeah.
You give him a dousing, yes.
Yeah, just give him a shot of wiper spray.
Oh, this would not be wiper spray. This would be
more like wiper pour.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
like an enemy.
Yeah. Prior to him, he's the one who I lost my virginity to, but before him, we had done other things, but he's the only one that has ever made me ejaculate this much. Maybe he's just special.
Okay. Well, that's great if he's listening.
Us. Yeah.
No, what was my question? My question, thanks for the long-winded non-answer, but my question is he ever give him a shot when he's doing oral on you?
When I can't hold it in anymore.
So you have
so the answer to that is yes?
Yes. Sorry.
So he's taking a dousing.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
And so you have this ejaculate whether you're having oral sex or intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. That's you. That's all.
It's good times.
She's, by the way, she's off my 69 list.
Really?
Yeah.
You wouldn't like that?
No. Ironically, yeah. There was 69 people on it. I actually were down to 68 now.
Mm.
Yeah, she's off the list because you'd get a detached retina with this one.
Mm-hmm.
She says it's not like a spray. It's like a hose.
Mm-hmm.
Comes out with some
force.
Power.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, that region is pretty powerful.
Oh, yeah. Those muscles can contract.
I mean, is that part of birthing?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, those are pretty involved and evolved muscles.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're strong.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe some of the strongest.
Yeah.
All right.
And when they start squeezing on those glands with real force, I mean, they can fire stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Someone's got a question for Drew about surgical penis enlargement. Mark?
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's up?
Not much. Yeah, I heard you guys talking about it a couple days ago, and really pretty interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Why? Well, I'm not real sure. A couple months back, me and my wife were having a little bit of problems, but worked it all out.
What was the problem? What was the problem?
Well, I was working too much, and she was at home with our girls, and she was just on the internet, you know, that whole thing.
So the answer is to get a bigger penis?
No, that's just...
I think if my wife got on the computer, I would have to undergo that surgery as well.
Yes, of course.
What do you mean she was on the internet talking to a guy?
Yeah.
She was lonely.
Yeah, that was her excuse. But that's the same point. When you guys talking about it.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
By the way, not an excuse, Mark. She was, in fact, lonely.
Yeah, but obviously it's not something that's left your mind.
Right.
And what did you read any of these transcripts?
No, it was like the instant messaging and sending pictures and stuff.
Did you read any of the instant messaging?
No, I didn't.
How did you find out?
How do you know what went on? Yeah.
When I kind of got an idea that she was doing that, I checked her email and saw that she had sent some pictures out to some different people.
What kind of pictures?
Just some suggestive pictures. No, nothing nude or anything like that. Just some suggestive ones.
Mm. And why did you get suspicious?
She was staying up late when I would come home and go to sleep.
Uh huh.
Kind of late.
Yeah.
On the computer.
All right, I'm hip. And so you found out she sent some pictures out to some guys. Were the guys in town?
No, they weren't.
So it wasn't like she made physical contact with anybody?
No, she didn't.
And
with her if she had.
You confronted her on this, and she stopped?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
There you go. Well, it's just, you know, as I believe, I don't know what this cost yet. I'm going to interview the doctor next week that does these procedures. I'm imagining.
If you don't ask.
I was just doing the surgery.
Probably,
I was busy pulling his penis away from his pubic bone and ripping it away.
You know, it's probably a little under 10 grand, but over 5.
Really?
Oof. Yeah. That's what I think.
That's crazy.
Well, what do you think?
I was thinking like 4, but.
4?
Yeah.
Mm.
What is the actual procedure? Is there any possibilities of complications and stuff like that?
Oh, always, of course. There's a risk of anesthesia, there's infection and bleeding, and things can go wrong. But
that's how my grandfather died.
But there is they put a hole just above the penis there, and they tear the tendon away from the pubic bone that stretches it out about an inch. They have you wear some weights for a while afterwards. Apparently adds to it. Then they basically take the skin off circumferentially from the penis and sew in like what looks like a giant ravioli,
mm-hmm.
and or a Pop-Tart, And then pull the skin back over that, and there you go.
All right. You know what this is like to me? This is like changing the color of the paint on your new car. Which is to say, now quiet, which is to say, you may not like the color that the car came from the factory with, but the new paint job's never going to be as good. It's just not. Uh-huh. It's just, this one came from the factory.
Mm-hmm.
The new one, and you can do a good job. You can pull off all the emblems, take all the chrome off and tape around real, but it's not the same as getting painted when the whole thing's apart and it's being dipped and there's not some, the windshield's not in and the rubber around the door isn't in. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You'll never get that.
Right.
You can get good. You can pay a little extra and get a nicer job. It's not, never factory fresh.
That's right.
I say stick with the crappy color because of the, it's got the factory fresh job.
Work on your driving skills.
That's right.
Yeah.
Are we talking about driving now?
Yeah. Cars.
Okay. Good, because I like cars.
But here's the deal. Every
Did Mark
time
have a car question? Mark?
Yes.
What's wrong with your penis?
Nothing, really. I just want it to be bigger.
How much money do you make a year? What do you do for a living?
I'm in corrections right now, but I'm getting ready to go back to school.
In corrections? You work in a prison or something?
Yes.
That's bad times. Here's the thing, Mark. Here's why we're bringing this up. I think you're going down the wrong path. You immediately, there's nothing wrong with you. You immediately work this into your wife on the internet, which there's obviously some residual feelings about. Not a great plan.
Right. Everything you've discussed has been about feelings of insecurity and feelings of feeling less than.
Yeah.
And all that gets focused on your penis. If you can make that more, then I feel like more.
Yeah, I would suggest you give like a hellacious ass beating to some guys in the drunk tank or something if you're feeling, you know, if you're having trouble with the self-esteem. Or do those things where you get the inmates to fight and then you wager on them. I like that one, too. You seen those movies?
It's nice.
So, but Mark, this isn't for you. You're smarter than this. And you don't make enough money. And you're calling from Washington State where, you know, you don't really have a lot of penile doctors. You work it out. You got kids. Anyone with it, here's the deal. If you have kids, you shouldn't be able to have the penis enlargement.
There should be no reason for it. Unless you really have a medical problem.
Yeah. No, it's like this. You know, if you want a vasectomy as a guy and you don't have any kids, they're not going to give them to you.
Right.
Penis enlargement, the opposite. You do have kids, can't have one.
And again, I keep thinking to myself that when anthropologists dig up this civilization in thousands of years and they find these non-decomposing silicone sacs on the chest of women and these raviolis on the genitalia.
Well, those are going to decompose.
Probably. Yeah, you're right. But still, if there is some remnant, they'll find some organic material that doesn't fit the DNA of the deceased. Never will it occur to them these things were inserted during life. They will assume there was some sort of funeral procedure, some sort of ritual at death. Oh, we lay the sacks on the chest.
True. It's true. Drew's been in love with this analogy.
I just believe
for,
it.
For 10 years. It's a solid four. Here's the thing, Drew. They're going to know all about the boob jobs. They're going to be more into it than we are.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Maybe they'll have perfected it.
Look, you can. Yeah. People are going to have penis and vagina by then. They'll just be walking in a circle, effing themselves. And they have to leave the house. I've
what about
seen
the
holograms? The future. They'll be effing holograms. Yeah. And here's the other thing, too, though. Pretty soon when people are getting cremated and you got the silicone sack in you or the whatever sack in you made by DuPont, isn't there going to be some sort of EPA problem with that? Something's going to go on with that. Well, it's just...
If everybody's got it.
It's going to unleash carcinogens into the atmosphere, you know? Yeah.
First-rate killer.
Yeah, the guys that are working at the crematorium are going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure, we'll have to get on the company that makes those.
Right. All right. Where are we?
We'll get the attorneys on that to protect the consumers.
Here's the thing. All guys, all law enforcement guys are a little, well, not all. 80% of them got a little something cooking. Mm. Little energy. A little something going on.
Mm.
And they always have kids, and they always have families.
Mm.
Always. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a profession. Unfortunately, I think law enforcement officer and soldier are two of the earliest family-starting professions there are. The guys who have the highest likelihood of eating a bullet
right.
on the job. You know what I'm saying?
It's interesting, yeah.
You never hear about some thing where like, Officer Rodriguez was shot by gang members in South Los Angeles. Thank Christ he was gay and a bachelor. You never hear that.
Right.
So he was survived by his 26 children, 14 grandchildren, 9 wives.
Right. He was 24.
He was... He just celebrated his 24th birthday. Oh, we have one of his 28 grandkids to comment on it. I mean, there's never a guy, never a cop who dies that doesn't leave behind. And by the way, these guys too, are, it's like he has a 19-year-old, a 17-year-old, 16-year-old, four 12-year-olds, yeah. and a newborn, right. and one on the way.
Right.
He was 21.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, what? Right. Where are all these kids coming from?
Yeah,
cops and soldiers. Mm-hmm. Not a one of them ever gets put down on the job without the whole family. Yeah, just one time. Like, yeah, he died. Confirmed bachelor though.
Thankfully,
he liked the ladies maybe too much.
Well, that's part of what happened.
Never could settle down. Called him Officer Pullout. never used backup when he went in with into a warehouse after some perps, but always used the morning after pill when he was with a slut.
There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, no kids, thank Christ. So anyway, he'll be missed, but again, not by that many people.
Not a tragedy like
could have been worse. Could have been worse. All right. Single guy. Had himself a one bedroom. I think it was a bachelor apartment. Just drove a two seater. You know, didn't need the minivan.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, not going to leave it to anybody. Didn't have any family. Just, you know, kind of a lone wolf type. Did his own thing. Kind of like, remember Laverne and Shirley? Remember the big ragu? That
yeah.
kind of guy. Like that.
There you go.
He was that way. Perfect. Nice guy, but just, you know, didn't have family. As a matter of fact, if I went to law enforcement, I would never get married. I would never have any kids. That would assure me of a long career.
That's true.
I'd be like, once the wife gets pregnant or you get a couple of months away from retirement or whatever, that's
the time.
That's where tragedy strikes.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
All right. Work that out. Blake?
Hey, how's it going?
You're 18?
Great. Yeah.
What's up?
I was wondering how much alcohol is too much in terms of frequency?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I drink probably 3 times a week, probably about 6 drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not. You can't really define it by frequency. It's really defined by consequences.
Mm-hmm. What's a drink? What's your drink?
I'm pretty down with Guinness.
Drink Guinness, and when you say 6 drinks, you mean six beers?
Yeah,
6. They got like the tall boys, right? Like the 16-ouncers.
No, 12-ounce.
So 12-ounce. Yeah. 6 of those of Guinness.
6 3 times a week.
Pretty much.
By the way, that is like just eating a sack of flour.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
That is
impossible.
Thick stuff.
Yeah, you're in, Blake. You're in. You've crossed over.
Well,
this isn't going to stop by itself.
Here's the thing. Blake's 18.
He's 18. He's breaking the law.
Oh.
He's, I mean, from a medical standpoint, this is vastly too much.
It is.
Ugh.
Really? But there's not all that much alcohol. I guess
Six,
Guinness 12 got a little
ounce
more.
Beers? Are you kidding? That will accumulate neurological damage eventually.
Really?
Over time.
Yeah, 40 years. But
No, you could do it in 10 years.
Here's the thing, too, though. A six-pack 3 days a week. See, 3 times a week. We don't believe them. We believe it's 7 or 8 beers, and it's 4 times a week.
Yeah, and if it's not now, it will be in a few months.
Yeah, it builds
for
up.
Sure, yeah.
It builds up. Now, when does I got to know for my own personal safety, when does the booze start screwing with the neurological stuff? Because they always do that.
It's
a glass of red wine with dinner is good for you.
Yeah.
Good for your blood.
It's actually hard to tell this because old people, if they drink so much as a small glass of wine, you can start to see cognitive impairments.
Yeah. Well, my mom thinks she's the life of the party.
No, but I don't mean intoxication. I mean that things stop working.
No, I mean she turns into a retard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think probably 2 glasses of wine after that.
Perfect.
You're in trouble.
Perfect. But in the tumbler, right?
No, I mean, I think you get more than about a third of a bottle. You're looking at bad times.
More than a third of a bottle?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's only four glasses in a bottle, isn't
five
there?
To six, usually.
Is there five
four,
to six?
There's four big ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Two small glasses, you're fine.
Nah. Blake?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, maybe you're drinking a little too much for an 18-year-old.
Yeah, you have alcoholism in your family.
No.
You must. You must.
By the way, where do you get money at 18 to buy three sixers of Guinness? That's expensive beer.
It is. It's a little too expensive, but I seem to find the money.
Okay. Well, you're proud. That's important.
What's your ethnicity?
I'm Caucasian.
Where are your ancestors from? Why can't people answer that question?
They're Norway and Germany.
Mm-hmm. The Norwegian family, is there anybody heavy drinking in there?
No, actually none of my family drinks.
No. All right. Is there a reason they don't drink? Are they Mormon, clergy?
A pioneer.
No, nobody has any real reason. They just don't drink. Nobody's alcoholic.
Where do you?
It just has to be there. You have to look around.
Where do you do your drinking? At home or are you partying?
Oh, no, I don't drink alone. Just at parties.
Go to parties three nights a week?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, enjoy it. All right.
What does that mean?
I don't. Blake's a dick.
Yeah,
who cares?
No kidding.
I don't know. Why do we care? Just go drink.
You get that sociopath feel?
Well, he's a dick. I mean, guys are dicks. 18-year-old guys are dicks. Mm. You know, it's what it is. He's probably good looking. He feels invincible. You do whatever you want. You drink as much as you want. You F whoever you want. You do whatever you want. And slowly time melts away. Mm-hmm. Hair starts falling out. Teeth get bad. You get a gut on you. And then the ladies don't come calling anymore. And you get grounded. But, you know, when you're riding high, well, enjoy yourself.
He should search around his family of origin because there has got to be
who cares? Let him do what he wants. I don't care. Blake, just stay. He's calling from Denver. Just stay. Stay in the Denver area. We got enough dicks out here. We're top heavy with dicks. We should have a dick sale. We got so many dicks in this town. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We're moving our dicks. Moving we can't on. Having a parking lot sale. The 2004 dicks. We ordered too many. Now we got to move them.
Dick clearance.
It's dick dealing days. Oh yeah. Dick dealing days. Wow. Now that's a good FM jock name. Hey everybody, Dick Dealing Days, playing the oldies right here on 93 The Arrow. There's a little something from the Doors. And you tell them Dick Dealing Days sent you. Yeah?
Good times.
It's good, yeah. I could even play a little Hot Hot Heat.
Oh yeah.
Cue that up, Chris.
Seems spring into action there.
Yeah. Like a cobra, this kid.
Oh, look at that.
Like a dead cobra. Hey, everybody, it's Dick Dealing Days coming at you from the mighty, mighty KROQ. It's 106.7 on your FM dial. I'll tell you what, 11:22:22 after. Look, that's some hot, hot heat coming. You're going to be in the studio tomorrow night. Look forward to these guys. This one's going out to my buddy Anderson back at Westwood One. And enjoy. Yeah, see? That's how it goes.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah,
I thought
thanks,
you could go out to commercial, no?
Oh, we could have gone to commercial.
Yeah.
All right, let's try it again. This time we'll go to commercial. All right. I'll give myself a fictitious AM station. All right?
Yeah.
All right. The little dazed and confused fans. Dick Dealing Days out here on 93.1 AM. That's KHJ. Play the oldies all the time. 11:23, 23 after 11 o'clock. A little something from Hot Hot Heat spinning your way. Yeah. Loveline. Madam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191-ER. Hey, I got to give a quick plug for this thing I'm doing. We got to get people to call in. Doing a show on Comedy Central on Friday, and we need your phone calls. You can call in before Friday. Yeah, that's the thing. Call in before Friday at 866. Hey, Adam. 866 Hey, Adam. Yeah, that's my number. I'm going to keep that baby.
That's a good one.
Yeah, or you can go to Adam Carolla at yahoo.com. How come I couldn't get that one?
I was just thinking they probably had to buy that from that guy that you were screaming at on the air.
Yeah, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was probably somewhere other than Yahoo, though, wasn't it?
People hoard those things.
Hmm. Well, all right. Let's, I thought they made that illegal or something.
I don't know.
All right.
Philip.
Philip.
Yes.
26.
That's me.
What's up?
I'm wondering, and this is more or less my third time back in the hospital. I've been diagnosed with pancreatitis right now. I have a pancreatic cyst, but the thing is, I don't drink, and I'm just wondering, does this happen to anyone young, under the age of 30 or anything like this?
All right, hold on. So you're in the hospital right now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, pancreatitis is inflammation of the pancreas, where the pancreatic enzymes get out into the tissue of the pancreas and start dissolving it.
Well, it happens.
Well, but wait, hang on a second. When it's acute, which does happen from people who drink heavily, it can be dangerous. People can bleed. You can actually turn your pancreas into a big abscess.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a life-threatening problem. Other causes of pancreatitis other than alcohol is things like birth control pills, medication, high triglycerides, and stones. So I imagine you've had an ERCP and you don't have stones. Is that right?
No stones.
Okay. And what he has now is something called a pancreatic pseudocyst, which is a giant...
That's exactly what I have
Are they going to drain it?
They can't. It's too large. It's about 4 inches round.
Well, sometimes they sort of drain it to the stomach. But anyway, be that as it may. What you have is something called chronic recurrent pancreatitis or calcific pancreatitis, and that alcohol will induce that. That it starts a process where the pancreas just becomes inexorably inflamed and calcifies, causes horrible pain.
Well, he doesn't drink, though.
It's chronic.
I haven't drank since 2003, so...
It's chronic the rest... Attack. Once you induce this state, it's chronic the rest of your life.
Once you drink enough...
Some people will get what's called chronic calcific pancreatitis, and even when they stop, this thing marches
but
on.
But it's only brought on by drinking.
Yeah, it's pretty much the only time you see it. Yeah, I mean, there's other things can
Bill,
do it.
I'm sorry, Philip.
Yeah.
You're 26. You must have done some world class drinking.
You know, I wish I had. At least I would have got trophies for it, but nope.
You weren't much of a drinker.
Not really, no.
When you quit drinking because of the pancreatic problem.
After my first attack, they said it was that, so I figured, okay, if that's it, man, just quit drinking, forget it all, you know?
Right, but you never a big drinker in the first place.
No.
Huh.
How often were you drinking?
Not even how I didn't drink. I would say serious, maybe 3 times. Other than that, maybe 1 or 2 drinks out of a month. Not even that.
Wow.
There are viral causes of pancreatitis, too.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't that.
Yeah, one of these unlucky guys that already got something awful.
But, I mean, what's the likelihood of this happening to someone, again, near my age or anything like this?
Yeah, heavy drinking, it's not an easy thing, but it's something that can
be
induced.
Well, he's not going to drink anymore.
Yeah, I understand what you're asking. What do you mean, another person coming down with this? Another 26-year-old?
Oh, anybody. I mean...
It happens.
They're stumped as it is over here, so
Happens. It happens from heavy drinkers, but you're not a heavy drinker, so that's why it's difficult to figure out.
But whatever the odds are, whether it's 1 in a billion or 1 in 5,
you got it. Yeah, are you on medication? Were you on medication at the time when the pancreatitis came on?
No, none. Hmm. Nothing.
And did you have high triglycerides?
No.
Where?
All right, Philip.
On the second one there was...
When you got the pancreatitis, then the triglycerides went up, yeah.
The first attack, the first hospital just kind of said it was a drinking, and that was it. So, but the second hospital I went to, they took a little more time out, and that's what they said that it was. They told me to change stuff in the diet, you know, again, no drinking, and I stuck with that.
All right.
And now I'm back here because they missed that I had a cyst. Inside, so
yeah. Well, that happens just in the chronic inflammation. But have you had an endoscopic?
What is what they want you to change in your diet?
No fats.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, because it aggravates.
Stimulates the pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have a what's called an endoscopic cholangiopancreatography, where they look up, they put a little tube up there and light your pancreas up?
No, was it going through the mouth or the other?
Through the mouth.
Yeah, they did that. They put a stent in there to open up the duct, and they said that that should help, but it's
so
only
maybe you had just you had a narrowing of the pancreatic duct, which maybe caused the chronic pancreatitis. And once it gets going, it's a hard thing to stop. So that maybe is it. So they put a stent in there, a tube in there to open it up. Good times.
Yeesh. You need your pancreas?
Yeah. It's where your insulin is made, all the hormones that regulate blood sugar metabolism.
What if you don't have a pancreas?
Cholecystokinin, the things that cause the gallbladder to be released.
What if something happens to your pancreas?
You're in bad times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can they transplant one?
Yeah, there are transplants.
Oh, there? Let's talk to Bill. Got a little Germany or Florida for us.
Germany or Florida?
Yes.
Yes.
A disgruntled bank janitor rented a backhoe and used it in an attempt to rob his place of employment. When he got to the bank, he proceeded to rip into the ATM with the backhoe. He was apprehended shortly after he demolished the ATM thanks to a witness down the road who phoned the authorities after seeing him.
What's a backhoe?
Yeah.
What's a backhoe?
I'm not quite sure what that is. Like a tractor kind of thing?
Right.
Yeah.
It has those big screws. Yeah,
okay. That's a big digging clam on it.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Come on, buddy.
All right, that sounds Florida to me.
Everything sounds like Florida. But the ATM and the backhoe and the disgruntled.
Florida.
Florida. Feels like Florida, Bill. You feel like Florida.
Ace man, you're right. It's Florida.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We're 100% tonight.
Bill, where are you from? No, we lost the first one.
I'm from Illinois.
Didn't we lose the first Germany or Florida?
Wasn't that Florida?
That was from Germany.
I edited that part out.
Oh, did you edit that out?
Yeah, that's gone.
Great job. We're 100%. Edit the part out where I said we lost the first one, too. 100% tonight, Drew. Do you hear
nice.
Me?
It's nice.
You know what 100%
Why
is?
Why did he edit that out?
It's 10% more than 90%, which is pretty damn good.
That's 11:35, 35 minutes after the hour.
Yeah. Dick Dealin days. That is a great jock name. All right, Bill. Bill?
Yeah.
What do you do for a living? Something around metal?
18.
No, actually, I'm a student.
He's at high school.
Where do you go? Where? High school?
Yeah.
But you're one of these guys who has your own ride and possibly your own mustache, right?
Yeah. That's a little goatee, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got a goatee in high school, huh?
Yeah.
That's big time. And you have a car?
Yeah.
But it's a crappy American car, but you think it's cool?
It's a 1987 truck. Mustang convertible.
Shocking. That's a crappy American car that you think is cool. All right, you got the 5.0, buddy?
No, it's a four-cylinder.
Four-cylinder. Ooh.
Well, that's a lot of muscle there.
That's rough.
$400.
All right.
You paid $400 for it.
All right. Seems too much, like too much. But no, all right, buddy. You work on it?
Yeah. All
the time. You got to learn how to wrench when you got a $400 car. All right, buddy. And the chicks dig it because they like the rag top in Illinois?
Yeah.
All right. It's got to be tough during the winter, so, right?
Yep.
What part of Illinois are you calling from?
I'm calling from Muskoda, Illinois.
Muskoda. Know it well. Pretty tough, though. This is the winters get down. They get down pretty low in Muskoda.
Well, the Muskoda Indians.
Yeah. Tough tribe. All right, Bill. Where are you going after high school?
Well, thought I'd take a break and then try and go for a local college. Don't know which one yet.
Local college. Junior. That's a nice euphemism for junior college.
We call that junior college around here, buddy.
Yeah, I don't plan on going there.
All right. Well, you want to go to a four-year college?
Yeah.
Like which one? Muskoda State?
Northern Illinois?
I guess.
All right, buddy.
I guess.
Let me explain something, though, for those of you who are seniors in high school and there's 3 months left of school. That I'm going to a four-year school, but I haven't taken the SATs. My GPA sucks. I've not done anything. Why don't you go raise the Titanic while you're at it? You're not doing anything. Taking a break? Mm. But here's the good news. You got the bad goatee, you got the 87 Stang with the four banger in it. You're going to fit right in at the junior college.
Yeah,
you will.
That's the good news.
You will be
there'll be a sea of him.
Oh, you'd be like MacArthur returning to the Philippines. You'd be a champion. That you will be with your people. See what I'm saying?
CO bills. Yep.
Yeah. You go to a four-year school with that stang, you will be judged.
Oh, yeah.
And harshly.
Huh?
Muskuta. That's not convertible country.
No. It's pretty ballsy.
And here's the whole thing about $400 convertibles. The top is usually not pristine.
No. Well, it's been in Illinois for a few years.
You will... These are the guys you see going down the freeway with the top lifted up like a sail. You think the
like a parachute.
It just looks like a huge bubble. Looks like where they keep the spruce goose down at Long Beach. Yes. Just a huge, it looks like the Cinerama Dome. Just there's a little opening in the front. It's like pita bread size opening. And then pow, the whole thing. This looks like the biosphere going down the freeway.
It's a nice racket, too.
It's awesome. And you got to think mileage-wise.
Oh, yeah.
You are essentially,
well, it's aerodynamic.
You essentially have a sail on top of your car with an 80-mile-an-hour wind going the wrong direction, and you're trying to row against it. Awesome. All right, let's take a break.
Yeah.
I bet it's a white convertible top, too.
Ask him.
All right. Bill.
Yeah.
White or black top?
Tan. And it's actually in good shape. The only
really?
What color you saying? Tan?
Tan. I didn't even know they did tan.
It's white.
Red and tan.
Red and tan.
Car's red.
Yeah.
It's white. It's just it.
Yeah, it's dark. Dark.
No, the car used to be tan, got red paint job.
Oh, really? Yeah. Nice. All right. 5-speed or you got the automatic?
It's an automatic.
Oh, wow. Really makes that 4-cylinder come alive.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. All right, listen, enjoy yourself.
You too.
This is a man, by the way. This ain't the little fagatinos your kids go to school with, Drew. This guy's got a goatee. He's from Kyrgyzstan.
But what was that thing that he opened his call with?
I don't know. He opened it up with like a bad Martian drop. But this guy's got a goatee. He's got a $400 car. He wrenches on it. Ain't no figure skating for him.
No. No piano lessons.
His car's, 15 years away from the advent of the airbag. Not even close. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
He barely has that third brake light. Barely. Just got under the wire for that third brake light in the back. You know what year that was? 86. Yeah.
Wow.
87. Yeah?
Wow. Seems like it was...
brand new item for you.
Yes.
That's right,
like
buddy. Coming on 20 years.
Yeesh.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll speak to Jeremy. Had excess veins in his testes five years ago. We'll talk to him after this. Yeah, love line, y'all. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Let's get to the phones, Drew.
Let's do.
See what we can do to help the kiddies, huh?
Perfect.
Let's talk to this poor SOB's been on hold for 65 minutes. Gilbert?
Snowing, sleeping.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh, there he is.
What's going on, Gilbert? You're 21.
Yeah, I'm 21. And I would like to know, what are the options or the procedures of getting a circumcision?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what you're asking.
Well, you can get one at your 21 years.
You go to a urologist and they do a circumcision. Circumcision is the procedure.
Well, he wants to know recovery time, maybe money. How much?
Although all that type of info.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I'm gonna take a few guesses. One is, I'm guessing it would be covered by insurance if you could prove you're having some sort of difficulty or some problem.
Right.
Okay. So unless it's just something other than a religious choice or maybe a cosmetic choice or maybe even a religious choice, you could get them to do it. Although that'd be probably a tougher sell. But if you're having a little narrowing or infections or whatever, you could probably sell it as a medical problem and therefore they would pay for it. If not, it's got to be under $2,000.
Yes, I for sure think so.
Yeah.
And it's not a big deal. You're only out of commission for a couple of weeks.
All right. Yeah, you having problems?
Well, see, I've gotten to a point where I have no self-esteem and I'm in deep depression. And it's just bugging me. And
hold on, did you edit yourself? You're a deep depression.
Yes, it's like I'm isolated from the world.
Oh, wow.
It's nothing to do with your penis.
Yeah, by the way, out of the, I'm not sure how what goes on with the Eastern Indians or the Chinese folks, but if you feel isolated from the rest of the world, the great majority of the world isn't circumcised.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, we live, what better country to have this done, right?
Yeah, it's one of the greatest circumcision countries in the world. I've always said that.
Yeah, you're still not in a huge minority having no circumcision.
Well, here's the thing, Gilbert. Here's what we're getting at. If you're doing this for emotional reasons, that may be something you might want to look into.
Right. It might give you some relief for a short period of time, but you're still going to be back in the same stew.
If you're having some sort of physical problems, that's another issue. But it sounds to me like you're depressed and you're blaming your foreskin.
Right. You feel ashamed. You have low self-esteem. So if you fix that, you'll suddenly feel like a...
Yeah, something else is going on with you.
Yeah.
You need
want to work on something, work on getting a good job and building your,
you're life. You're like a girlfriend and a decent job away from, feeling
retaining
good.
Your foreskin.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Gilbert?
Yes. Well, actually, because I have the privilege of living with both my parents, I feel as if I have a duty to act, a saint. And because of that, I abandoned everything that I enjoyed.
Oh.
And now I'm in this position.
What the hell does that mean?
I have no
Speaking
idea.
Speaking that's the riddle.
Gilbert, what did you abandon that you enjoy?
First of all, the career choice I made.
Mm-hmm. Which was what?
It was going to be in auto electronics.
And why did you abandon that?
Because it wasn't the preference of my parents' choice.
Uh-huh. Well, I know what it's like when you have to give up your dream of putting subwoofers in Jettas.
That's a tough dream to give up.
You know what I mean? Pulling cardboard panels.
Yeah, plastic.
Off door liners and crawling around.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sticking that Pioneer in the dash.
Yeah, it's got to be rough. Yeah, now, boy, they got everything. They got XM. And that's tough. You got to crawl around.
Sounds
guys
like socially, sort of retarded too.
Gilbert?
Yes.
So you had to abandon your dream of installing stereos and do what?
It's going to sound weird. I know it's not the ideal dream, it is, but not for someone of my intelligence, doctor. Mm-hmm.
Your parents want you to be a doctor?
Well, it's more of they decided that, yes, that was a good career for me.
Mm-hmm. Being a physician.
I'm brand new. I'm new to this whole surrounding, so I don't know if that's the name.
You're going to school? Hold on, Drew. There's a lot of doctors that don't know the name of their job. You going to junior college?
I was, but because of this problem, I couldn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah,
instead,
Gilbert, you need to see somebody, buddy.
Yeah, Gilbert, you sound like a good guy, who, you know what it is, Gilbert?
Floundering.
No, let me say this.
Don't tell him something Oprah-esque.
No, it's not going to be Oprah-esque, but yeah, it's going to be Dr. Phil. You know what you got to do right now? You got to make a decision. Is Gilbert going to do the right thing, or is Gilbert going to do the wrong thing? It's as simple as that, Buckaroo Banzai. Mm-hmm. You pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, you get to work. That's as easy as it is. That's the long and short of it. I wish there were more, but there's not. We got to go commercial. All right, so you cured? Here's what you know what you're like, Gilbert? I'm gonna stick with your stereo AV stuff, which is you're like a nice piece of equipment, like one of those projection screen televisions, and your mirrors aren't lined up just right. They're a little bit off. The componentry is there. It's just you need an adjustment. You see what I'm saying?
By a specialist.
By a specialist. Yeah?
I can definitely agree with you.
Okay,
Gilbert, there we go.
Well, another satisfied customer. Gilbert.
Do you have a family doctor?
No, low income.
Okay. What you, is there? It's a low income family?
Low, very low.
Very low. Okay. And your parents, are you sure they want you to be a doctor?
You know, they just didn't like the fact that I would have clients coming into my house and having the whole underground.
Right. Okay. I see. All right. Gilbert, it's time to get a good job and move out of the house, get a girlfriend. You can do it. And
if
here's
you can't,
the deal.
The LA County Mental Health Services. There you go.
That's right. And by the way, the guys that are looking to get the plasma screen and the headrest and the subwoofer in the SUV, and they're looking to do it on the cheap.
By
close
Gil-
your eyes.
Gilbert's house.
Picture that guy.
I know one of the parents don't want him hanging around.
What do you think's who would you least like to date your daughter? A Raiders fan? Or, and it's the same guy, by the way, or the guy who's really obsessed with car audio in the SUV?
I'd rather have her date Gilbert than the guy whose car Gilbert is fixing.
Really? Because you figure, devil
Gilbert's,
you know.
Gilbert's
devil you know.
Harmless.
Devil you know.
And the devil I know.
Devil, did I say that?
Devil I know.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Well, that's it, everybody. Hot, hot heat in here tomorrow night. Thanks for listening. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.